discussing the din shalit shemikar. It tells us that if a man is in the middle of counting shemikim for being zav, and then he has re'ias kerias shemazer in the middle, so that doesn't knock off the entire week, but it does cancel one day. So he was up to 85, so he can't count the six. He has a break. Then, given where the shemazer ends, so then he continued to count from that point on. So what does that do with us? The Gemara had a question whether that din carries over to a zava as well. So even though the Gemara in one place seems to be unclear about it, another sukkah seems to conclude that that is in fact a din. That's what we assume, that's a potential din in the Torah. And if a woman is in the middle of counting shemnikiyim, and she sees shechvazera, namely she was paleta shechvazera, she had relations with the husband, and zera comes out a couple days later, so that zera can cancel the day, and she would have to keep that in mind when she's counting shemnikiyim. Why is that important for us? It's very important for us because all of our women today are considered to be like zavos. Every woman has, becomes a nida today, so we treat her as the chumrah, as being a zava, because sometimes she is, sometimes not. And the Torah depends, but with the rabban across the board, anytime a woman becomes a nida, she becomes automatically like a zava. She requires a full fledged shemitikim, and if there's a paleta there in the middle, that's going to pose a problem. So we're going to see in a little while. That it's that din of paleta shemazera that causes the whole issue as to when the woman can begin to count shemitikim. She can only begin to count shemitikim once all the physical issues of paletas are over. We have to be absolutely convinced that she's not going to be paletas, at least halachli paletas, any more shemazera. But the question is the din really, really true? Is this din really, really relevant for us as banazet? So we quoted last week a rabbit, but the rabbit thought that not. The rabbit thought that the entire din doesn't apply for us. The whole din of paleta shemazera, throwing off and missing one of the days of shemitikim, is only said for tumah v'tahara. It wasn't said for chasnida, as we know in terms of issa labayla. What prompted the rabbi to say such a thing? That's a tremendous chiddush to the friendship between the two. So what prompted the rabbi was the gemara at the end of Maseches Nida tells us that if a woman wants to go to the mikvah on the seventh day in the morning, not like she would normally go, she wants to go on the morning of the seventh day. So technically speaking, min haTorah, she can do that. And if you think about it, not only can she do it, it's almost like a person gets up from Shiva on the seventh day in the morning, she could really be with her husband, but she went to the mikvah already. So this is a very, very bad idea. Because if she would be with her husband on the seventh day in the morning, and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she would see blood, so she would start to bleed. So we wouldn't say that she's a surah from here on in, but rather we would say that that seeing of blood retroactively undoes the entire Shiva Nikiyim. That's so sad the entire week. And it turns out that at 8 o'clock in the morning, when she was with her husband, she was still a Zava. So there's this occurrence. So therefore, the Gemara tells us at the end of the second Nid, even though technically speaking she'd go to the mikvah and be with her husband, but Chazal said, better not do that. It's called Gezeira Shematira Vitzistar. Maybe she'll see blood, and by seeing blood, she'll unravel, undo the entire count of Shiva Nikiyim. So the Ravid posed the question, he mentioned at the end of the show last week, the Ravid says, what are you afraid of, Shematira Vitzistar? Why don't you say a much more real concern, namely, Vadei Tiflot, that if she has relations with her husband, she's inevitably going to be Paletas a little bit of Shepazera that day. So if she's Paletas Shepazera that day will not count as one of the days of Shiva Nikiyim. So it turns out that she didn't finish Shiva Nikiyim. If she didn't finish Shiva Nikiyim, she went to the mikvah too early. And it turns out she went to the mikvah too early, she's the Chayav Kares. So why does the Gemara say, don't have relations because of the off chance that maybe once in a blue moon, Shematira Vitzistar. So Vadeh, Tiflot Shechvazer. So the Ravid, to answer that question, says, you see from here that Paleta Shechvazer doesn't bother us. The Gemara says, Paleta Shechvazer is a problem. That's for Tumah V'Tahara, that's not for Issa Heter. That the standards of Shiva Nikiyim to becoming Tahora are different than the standards of becoming Muteris. So the Rosh has a big, big problem with this Ravid. The Rosh says, you can find the Ravid, the Rosh is Kasha. So the Rosh quotes the Ravid. It's on page 28. The Rosh quotes the Ravid, the third of the Ramakom, is on page 28. Ravid's al kosav v'tshuva. Shelo omru paleta shechvazera shesoseres, el ataras pavad. So But the only time that Poletoship was there undoes the count, and then cancels that day, that's for Taras. If a Labaila in a Seseris, but vis-a-vis her husband, it doesn't affect the count. Would he be Raya, the Tani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Gemara later on that says, Rabbi Shimon says, Acha Maisa Titar, that after she goes, she does a Bedikah on the seventh day, she goes to the mikvah, and Chazal said, you're not allowed to go to the mikvah during the daytime, Shalot Tavali Day Safek, because she may end up seeing blood, and that's called Shevatir Vatistor. Alma says the Ravid, Ilav Chashash the Shevatir Tiradam Yachatashmish. If not for the fact that we're concerned lest she sees blood, the Achatashmish, Mishameshes Veleches, Ve'enechisheshesh, Shematiblos Shechmazer. Nobody said that, nobody mentioned the concern of Shetiflo to Shechmazer. So you see, from here says the Ravid, that doesn't really concern us when it comes to Baila. So now the Ravid's trying to defend his Raya. Palomas Staber, it doesn't make any sense. Then maybe you could call it some. Maybe a woman could have tashmish during the day and will know for a fact that she won't be paletus. How are you going to do that? She remains stationary the entire day. The Gemara says that if a woman just lays there, doesn't move, doesn't turn over, doesn't get up, so no ship was there, because the rules of gravity, so nothing's going to come out of her. So, she can avoid the case of paletus ship was there. Says the rabbi, it's a leitzonus. It's a joke. That's what the Gemara's talking about. The Gemara's talking about she's going to be for 8 o'clock in the morning, and now we're strapping her down for the rest of the day. That doesn't make any sense. So says the rabbi, you see from here that the Shema Tiflot Shech Lazera just doesn't concern us. So the Rush quotes the rabbi, and a little bit later on, I think I may have skipped off that line. The Rush says that he can't believe the rabbi is true. You know why he can't believe the rabbi is true? Hech tisto lechatzoyim. Where did we ever find such a strange thing? That a woman is count of Shivinakiyim, she's up to one day for Tumu Vitara, and up to a different day for Baila. It comes out a bizarre thing that a woman's in the middle of count of Shivinakiyim, she gets up to day five, she becomes a Paleta Shechmazera, so we say to her, well, Tumu Vitara, your day five is going to count for you. But for Baila, day five is going to count. So 2 days later, she goes to the mikvah, and she's Muteris Labaila, and she's still Tumea. She's got to wait another day until she goes to the mikvah for Tumu Vitara. So who ever heard of such a thing? Tumu Vitara, Labaila, it's not two different areas of Halacha. They all emanate from the same question. Is she Muteris? She Asura? She Tumea? She Tahor? It's the same Shaila. Is she Azov? Is she not Azov? Did she count Shiva Nikim? Did she not? Did she go to the mikvah or not? So what kind of game is this? That for some areas of Hilchas Nida, she's a Surah, she's Mutera, she's Tumei, she's Ahura. How can there be a discrepancy between Tumu Vitara and Nisa Mehetar? That's the Russian's basic attack against the Rabbi. To which the Rabbi would respond, yeah, there is a discrepancy. What's so terrible? So this Machlokes between the Rabbi and the Russians is a very lovely Machlokes. One could raise the following Chakira.
And I understand the Rabbi's Hadracha. It seems very simplistic. The Rush
says that it comes out of a bizarre thing that you have a woman who is Tameya, but she's Muteris Labaila. Because she counted Shivinakiyim, but one of those days she was a Paletus Shevazera. So we said, vis a vis Tumu Vitara, you didn't finish Shivinakiyim yet. Vis a vis Bailech, you did finish Shivinakiyim. How can a woman be? She's Muteris Labaila Mishum Zava, but she's still Tameya Midaraisa Mishum Zava. Those two things go hand in hand. So Henry's so convinced that the Rabbi is right. I'm going to explain to you why the Rosh is. I don't know, right? Okay, what the Rosh Hashanah is. There's a fundamental question. How do you understand, not just the ABCs of Hilchas Nida, this probably should have been the Chakira in the first day of Hilchas Nida. How do you understand what's going on in Hilchas Nida? A woman has her Riyas Dam. Again, if it's at a certain time of the cycle, it's a Nida. Other times, it's a Zavah. It's always a Zavah. It doesn't matter for us right now. She has her Riyas Dam. And the Riyas Dam results in two things. Number one, it makes a Temeya. And there are differences in halacha being Temeya. She can't go to the base of Mikdash, she can't eat kavanas, such as truma. There are a lot of halachas that emanate from being Temeya. Then there's another halacha that happens. She becomes a Surah Labaila. They happen to be two different parshas in Chumash. The Tumu Vitara part of Hilchas Nida appears in Parshas Bitzora. The Issa Labaila part appears in Parshas Achareiros and Kedoshim. So how do you understand what's going on? Do you understand that there's a Re'iyas Dam, and the Re'iyas Dam, the seeing of blood, is Gorim, kicks in two different parshas. There are two different things that happen to coincide, both emanating from Riyas Dam. So Riyas Dam creates an Isser, and Riyas Dam creates a Din Tuva. 99.99% of the time, those two things are identical. When she's Tameh, she's Asura. When she's Torah, then she's Mutaris. But it doesn't have to be that way, because the Riyaz Dam created two separate independent changes in status. But do I say, well, that's not what happened. Riyaz Dam creates a din of Tumah. That's all Riyaz Dam does. Riyaz Dam is a Metameh. Once a woman becomes Tameh, Tumas Nidu Azava, then the existence of the Tumah kicks in Issel Abayla. Most Tumas don't affect the status of the husband. If a woman touches a dead body, she does become a Asura L'Baila. If a woman touches a dead animal, she doesn't become a Asura L'Baila. It's only that unique tumor of Tumas Nida / Tumas Ziva that kicks in, that's going to be Issel L'Baila. But the source of the Issur is the tumor. So it was Riyaz Dam. If I'd be drawing over here, I would have Riyaz Dam on top. I would have two lines. Issur, tumor. Is that what's going on? Well, no. It's Riyaz Dam. One line, Tuma, and I would have an arrow, Tuma leads Le'issa. So my nefkamina, big nefkamina. Can you split between the two? Can you have a situation where a woman is Asura, but Muteres? Does that make any sense whatsoever? So the rabbi said, absolutely, you have it. And the Rosh said, absolutely not. It's impossible to have it.
So let's go back to Rabbi's original suggestion of how we looked at it, that the Raisa, if she went on the seventh day in the morning to the mikvah, other than relations, all the other things would be mudder, and then you could be machal like the two different approaches on that seventh day, because you could say, according to Ravid, that chiba and all the things that would be permissible between the morning and the night, but he'd still have to wait to the nighttime.
Well, that question that you're raising about what the status of all the other activities in the interim is a very, very critical question. It's not necessarily going to depend on the Rav and the Rosh. Because, again, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that you shouldn't be going to the mikvah in the morning. And even if you did, you can't be with your husband because Shema Tiravatistar. The question that you're asking, not relevant to the Rav. The Rav and the Rosh is an important machlokes, but it's not the crux of your issue. The crux of your issue is, that Gezeirah the Rabbanan of Shema Tiravatistar, was that instituted only vis-a-vis Tashmish, or was that instituted vis-a-vis other things as well, Chibur Benisha? So the truth is, I was heavy annoying, should I talk about that now or not? I'll tell you what my suffix was. I guess Menashe Shemayim put me here, so I have to talk about it. The reason why I was going to, I'll tell you the tutstav mechakir, why I wasn't going to talk about it, and I'll tell you why. But it's not really this topic. This is the real topic of Gezeirah Shema Tiravatistar is on the... So the next booklet of Maimonides is really part of this man Tevila, much later on. But the reason why I was going to talk about it now is because I just had a shaila in it about 2 weeks ago. It was a fascinating shaila. I don't think I mentioned it last week, right? So okay, I'll share with you now, and then when we get to the next booklet, remind me again. I have to say it over. So,
but the Russian rabbi don't.
The Russian rabbi, I don't think it's going to affect it. I don't think it's going to affect the shaila. I'll tell you, my teshuva kachloya. I have a shaila. I don't know who the person was who asked the shaila. That's the honest truth, because the shaila came through somebody else. I don't even know who the Baal Dover was. It was the shaila involved that there was a whole question about whether a woman was permitted to go to the mikvah a certain night. The reason why there was a question whether she can go that night was she had forgotten to do bedika at the right time. It was a balagan in terms of what was bedikas. So again, we'll get to that a little bit later on towards the end of this booklet, the next booklet, as to exactly what the background was. The bottom line was, is that I told her, let's say, Father, it was a Thursday night, so I told her, I don't think she's going to the mikvah Thursday night, I think she should wait till the next day, do a bedika tomorrow, and then she should, she's going to the mikvah Friday night. So, she wasn't exactly so happy with the psak, but okay, kachava. So, about 5 minutes later, I get another call through the intermediary that, and she realizes that now that I sent it to the mikvah Friday night, the big balagan Friday night, I'm going to the mikvah, she got a lot of company, she got that whole story, but she doesn't want to go to the mikvah Friday night. So, okay, what do you want? I just told you, you can't go Thursday night, she's supposed to go Friday night, she can't go Friday night. She wants to know, can she go mikvah Odyom on Friday? Now, this is an old question. It's an old question, but we haven't spoken about it really yet. There's a major issue about sometimes we permit you to go to the mikvah in very, very extenuating circumstances, to go to the mikvah b'biyod yom and not to see your husband b'biyod yom. It's a whole complicated story. So I was not happy with...
What time is b'biyod yom?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
But not like making Shabbos early.
No, that's another problem. That's another issue, right? I'm talking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So she was going to make 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos at 6 o'clock, and she said, again, show you. So I told her that... I didn't feel comfortable giving her that psalm. I said, the other rabbanim in town, she wasn't. I didn't know she was even. So I said, you know, do you want to hear somebody else? Hear somebody else? I didn't feel comfortable giving her that psak. But in the back of my mind, I did realize that Me'ika Me'ikra Din, she probably could have gone on the seventh night. She probably could have gone on Thursday night. Because the Thursday night was really the Motzai of the seventh day. It's only because she missed the Bedika on day seven that we're Machr, at least Nachat Chila, to make sure that she goes the following day. So in the back of my mind, I was viewing it as when she's going Friday night, it's almost like a Suffolk, seventh, Suffolk eighth. To go to the Mikvah on the seventh day during the day is very, very, very problematic. To go to the Mikvah on the eighth day, maybe on Yom, it's problematic, but less problematic, and there are more coolers involved in the eighth day. Again, I'm just kind of going to give you the Russian prophet, because the real topic is related to Ilchus Tefillah, not to this part of Ilchus Tefillah. Bottom line is, I told the woman she can't go to the Mikvah Thursday night, she can go to the Mikvah Friday night, and whatever Rosh she spoke to told her she can go to the Mikvah Friday afternoon. Okay, good. So all's well that ends well, supposedly. She's supposed to go to the Mikvah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I get another call, a little bit later, again through the intermediary, that she's going to go to the Mikvah 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She wants to know, can she touch her husband after that point? Does she have to wait till it gets dark? Or can she at least chibuk v'nishuk between 2 o'clock and say skichovim? So that's part of Henry Shiloh. So when we let somebody go to the mikvah v'yod yom, tashrish is for sure out of the question. Chibuk v'nishuk, generally speaking, would be out of the question. But in the back of my mind, I realized that this is probably the 8th day already. According to most posts, it's probably the 8th day, not really the 7th day. As a chumrah, it's a shchorach chumrah, not to go to the mikvah that night because you missed the seventh day bedika, but according to most posts, it's probably okay. So I told her that, all right, I didn't quite ask her, if you're ready to go to the mikvah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which I probably wouldn't have let anyway, but the other rabbi left, so I didn't quite ask her, I said, you can touch your husband at that time. Sure, kachava. So then, I thought the conversation was closed. Then I get another call, that, well, can she do more than just touch it? Can she mamash be together with her husband in the afternoon? So, I didn't know who the person was. That's why I'm free to tell the story, because I mamash don't know who the person is. Whatever the background, there's some more background to the story, I'm leave that. I can't, even not knowing the person, I could or shouldn't say it publicly. Whatever it was, the bottom line, I said that, yesha milismach, there was someone who would say that even that's permissible. Because since it's the eighth day, of course, the most post it's the eighth day, and the whole Shematir Batista doesn't really apply on the eighth day. So it's machlekes is the Ramban the Gra when there's an Isra of Tashmish also on the eighth day. So when all the dust settles, it's basically make on that also. So the Shiloh snowballed from one thing to another. So again, over Met Hashem in a few months from now, we get to the real sugya to this Ban Tefillah, so we'll fill in all the background to the Shiloh, all the details about the Shiloh development.
What's beautiful is that I came back and asked questions at each level. I'm like really amazed.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Shevach.
You're right. I gotta put a little bit of Chassidish of blood. I come from Chassidish of blood. I gotta bring some of it back into the Lufisha blood. I told somebody yesterday, I was at lunch yesterday by Zatarus. So there were two kugels there. So there was the sweet Lakshin kugel, and there was the salt and peppery Lakshin kugel. So I took myself a piece of the sweet Lakshin kugel. Someone was looking at me. So I said to them, I may talk like a Litvak. I said, but in my heart and my kishkas are still Galatianas. I took this week. Okay.
If someone was with their husband before the bleeding started, and now it's in the Shivat and Ikea, you're telling me that you can be holding this stuff in your system for like 10 days until it goes out?
Oh, the Valdics, the question is, where is this Paletus coming from? What are we talking about?
I thought in a couple of days it's out.
Yeah, we didn't get to a few days. We're going to get to it. We're going to get how many days is days. We're going to find out in a minute, very soon, just how long this is going to last. How much of a concern is this going to last? So we didn't even get to that part yet. So we're still back to the Rabbi and the Rosh. So again, so the Rabbi told us that we could split between Tuba Vitar and Issa Vibayla, and the Rosh said it's impossible. So this is a throwback to something we've actually spoke about this in the past, that there is a big machlekes of Rishonim in general in Hilchos Nida, but are the rules of Hilchos Nida Labayla really truly follow the rules of Tuba Vitar? Maybe there really is a split between the two. So there is a fascinating comment of Rabbi Dalevi. Usually we don't quote him halacha, but usually we say kinnas. Rabbi Dalevi has a fascinating comment in the Sefer HaKuzari that may shed some light on the Shaila. Spekitzer and Nimrutz in the Sefer Kuzari, so he writes the whole description of how the Melech HaKuzarim, the king of the Khazars, is trying to figure out which religion he wants to adopt. So he puts together, sounds like a joke, it's the rabbi, the priest, and the Qadi, the Muslim judge, he puts them all in the room, and he starts asking them questions about religion. So when he gets to the rabbi, so he, right in the Middle Ages, he's describing what he thinks happened in the days of Melech HaKuzarim. So he writes that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the rabbi, you know, what makes you think that your religion is more true than the other religions? So the rabbi says, ask the other two people, and they'll tell you that Judaism was true. Everybody agrees. The entire civilized world agrees that Judaism at one time was true. All of Christianity is predicated on the assumption that Judaism was true. All of Islam is based on the premise that Judaism was true. Where do they differ from us? They go off the path by saying Judaism was true, but something changed. So comes the rabbi and says, but if you look at the sources of Judaism, which they all accept to be true, they all accept the Bible. All three major world religions at the time all accept the truth of the Bible, of our Bible. So comes the rabbi and says, but look in the Bible. The Bible says that's never going to change. The first five books of Moses say this is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's never going to change. It says it 25 times. So all the religions are zakashim in a way. It's an internal contradiction. Their entire religion is based on the authenticity of the Bible, and the Bible Gufa says that never changes. I remember, going back to this for a moment, it's nothing to do with the Kudari, but it happened to me one time, that I was a teenager, there was a missionary who came knocking on my parents' door, and now I just wouldn't open the door, but then I was a kid, so I figured I'd have a little bit of fun. So they opened up the door for them, and they start telling me, all this about Isaiah, is that the Bible, all wonderful things. So I said to them, you know, I just have a few questions. Can I ask you a few questions? They got so excited about it. I'm going to ask you a few questions. So I took out my tzitzis. I said to them, I said, do you know what these are? How come you don't wear them? I said, Numbers 15, verse 22. I said, well, I understand. Where are your fringes? It was like the day after Sukkot. I said to him, did you eat in a booth last week? I said, Leviticus 23:4. I said, with the mezuzah, Deuteronomy 5. So they were floored. So I said, I don't understand. You're coming here to convince me to keep what it says in the Bible. I said, I'm doing a much better job than you are. I said, according to your religion, everything it says in the Bible. I said, no, it changed. It used to be. It then. You don't have to do it anymore. He said, you tried to sell me your religion based on authenticity of the Bible. I'm giving the Bible. You guys should listen to me rather than listen to you. They said, you know what? You're right. He said, we're going to go find somebody else. So that's what the Melech HaKuzarim, that's what the rabbi tells the Melech HaKuzarim. I said, they all agree that what we had was true. They said it changed. We state it changed. And the opposite of Chumash, it's never going to change. So the Rabbi Yehuda Levi now puts into the words, into the Melech HaKuzarim, the following question. He said, Rabbi, he says, what do you mean? You also changed the laws of Moses. I don't see you observing ritual purity anymore. So the rabbi responds, we didn't change the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you look in the Torah says, why do you have to be Tahar? You have to be Tahar because you can go to the base of Mikdash. You have to be Tahar because you can eat Truma. You have to be Tahar. You can eat Maisa Shei. You can eat Karbanos. He said, Nebuch, we don't have it. We don't have a temple anymore. We were thrown out of our land. We don't have a temple. We don't have sacrifices. We don't have tithes. We don't have truma anymore. We don't have any of this stuff anymore. So that's the reason why we're not careful about ritual purity. It's not that we think it doesn't apply. It does apply. If and when Eretz Hashem, the basically should be rebuilt. We go back to the dinner of Tuvatara. But right now, Tuvatara doesn't apply. Not that it doesn't exist anymore. It just doesn't apply anymore. So the Rabbi Levi stuffed the next question into the mouth of the London to the Melchizedek, because obviously the way he said it. Now I have a contradiction to the Jews. You just told me that the laws of ritual purity don't apply, so how come your wives go to the mikvah? What are they going to the mikvah for? If you're telling me that ritual purity doesn't exist without a temple, what are your wives going to the mikvah for? The rabbi in the Sefer responds, says, no, you don't understand. He said, the reason why we go to the mikvah is not for ritual purity. We don't care whether our wives are pure or not. There's another look in the Parshas Acharos and Kedoshim. Rabbi Yehuda Levi is like a brisker. He says there are two dinim. He says there's one din of Tumah V'Tahara and there's one din of Issul and Baila. He said the reason why our wives go to the mikveh is because the prohibition of being with the nidah still applies. That has nothing to do with the temple. So You're right. Tumah Tahara doesn't interest us anymore. In Pesach, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But Issa L'Baila still doesn't work for us. That's why wives go to the mikveh. Wives go to the mikveh for Issa L'Het and not for Tumah Tahara. Because anybody who knows anything about reading the Pesach Chumash realizes that the two parshas have nothing to do with each other. So everyone realizes that. That's the Machlokes, the Rav and the Rush. The Rav and the Rush lived a couple hundred years after Rabbi Halevi. According to the Rav and the Rush, that's true for the Machlokes. Is Tumah Tahara really what's going the din of Issa L'Baila? Is this for the Gam reason? So when all the dust settles, the Rabbi had a raya. His raya was, why did the Gemara say Shabbatir Batistor? Why doesn't the Gemara say Pelet the Shabbatir? So the Rush responds, once he rejects the Rabbi, now he gives his own answer. So what is the answer? Take a look back at the Rush. It's 4 lines to the bottom, to the end of the line. The Nira Lee says the Rush ain't a raya. The Peletis ain't a Salseris Yavachar. The Peletis Shabbatir cancels any day of Shabbatir, with the exception of the last one. Peletis doesn't have the ability to nap off the seventh day. My high, what's the difference? Devadai dam bezava beziva bezav shesosin kol aminyan. Anything like blood or anything like a ziva for a man that have the ability to nap off the entire week. Sosin on erev yom shvi. So anything that's a seiser, anything that's a contradiction, anything that undoes, unravels the entire count, can unravel even on the seventh day. Ava peletis shekvazera she'enis oseres al yamechon. What does that mean? It's only peletis yom echon. In polta acha shesofra mikta sayom shuv enis iseres. It can't cancel the seventh day because she already counted the seventh day. What does that mean? The ikas tiva shechazera mishum lo mikru nekiyim. The reason why shechazera undoes the day is because it's not called the yom nok. It's not called the clean day. The kaven shesofra mikta sayom. When she counted it already, v'tara labayla she's v'teres labayla for shom one nekiyim. He says that when we're dealing with the steer of dam, which is the source of the entire count, that can take place close by you in that week of 7 days. So that week of 7 days ends when it gets dark after the 7 day of Shabbat, not a second before that. Any dam, any time in that week, unravels the entire count. That's not what Peletis is. Peletis is not Soysa Haraya. It doesn't knock off the whole week. Peletis is a block. So Saras is right, it's a blank day. It's not a contradicted day, it's a blank day. A blank day means you want this to count as a number. This should be the seventh day, this should be the third day, it should be the first day. So says the Rush, the first day of Shabbat Kiyam, if Peletis it can't be. The second day it can't be. The seventh day, it was already. She already went to the mikvah. She did a vidik in the morning. She officially wrote it on the calendar. She gave a check on the calendar. Counts already as the seventh day. She went to the mikvah, she's with her husband. She's Peletis, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So what? That doesn't undo the count. The count day was already, it was already finished. So the Rush deflects the Raya's Raya and says, no, that there's no Raya from the Raya that din of Peletis only applies to Tyrus, and applies equally to Baila. Halacha L'maisa, we pass it like the Rush, Belishan Sofek, we pass it Halacha L'maisa, that the din of Peletis applies. For us, the Zman Hazer, it applies for Sibhetna, it doesn't only apply for Tumah Tahara, and therefore we have to be concerned with Peletis. What are the ramifications now of being concerned with Peletis? So take a look at the 29th of the Maimonides. So on the top of the 29th, right before Maimonides 5, so it's the second line from the top, Umikan, based on everything we just told you, Isha Shashimsha. If a woman has relations for Rosami, then much an hour later she gets a period. Ema lahascha lispur kiyim. She cannot even begin to count shem and kiyim. At acha yom dal, until 4 days have passed. The ba'inan vav ono shlemos. The chayim pasul berachanano. Because she has to wait 6 complete units of time before she can begin to count shem and kiyim. What in the world is this coming? Where is this coming from? It's coming from a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, based on Psukim and Pashas Yisro with Matan Torah. But the Torah speaks about waiting 3 days before Matan Torah. Remember, the Torah says, Shlosh Yom Apikshul El Isha. Don't be with your wives for 3 days. Why can't they be with their wives, Erech Shavuos? Because they had to wait, not for themselves, for the men, they could have been with their wives that morning, but then maybe in the afternoon. But for the wives, it wouldn't work, because the wives would have been constantly Peletis Shechazer for the next couple of days. So the Gemara, the whole cheshbon, at least according to some Tanoim, that for a total of 72 hours, that's Vav Onus, and Onus 12 hours, for a total of 72 hours, a woman could potentially still be paletish of Pazera. She could physically be paletish for longer than that, but it doesn't matter to us halachically, because any Zera after six units, after 72 hours, is not considered to be viable. It will not cause her to become pregnant anyway at that point, and therefore that Zera is to Mandalay, so it doesn't exist. The bottom line is, what does this mean? If a woman gets a period at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, let's say she's with her husband that right before that, so she was with her husband at 1 o'clock, and then she gets a period at 2 o'clock, so she cannot begin to count Shiva Nikiyim until she had Tashbish at 1 o'clock on Sunday, so she has to wait till 1 o'clock on Monday, she's got to wait till 1 o'clock on Tuesday, she's got to wait till 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and only after that point, 24 hours, namely 72 hours have passed, at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, she could begin to count Shiva Nikiyim. You can't begin to count Shiva Nikiyim in the middle of the day. You can only begin at the night before. So her first potential day of Shiva Nikiyim will be on Thursday.
Why don't we say Chetzi Yom Kippur?
No, Chetzi Yom Kippur, what?
Meaning that...
You can't start Shiva Nikiyim in the middle of the day. You can't do that. There's a reason for that, but we'll have to get to that. Why that's true, but that's for sure.
I don't mean a chumrah, meaning it's a mitzvah that's a chumrah that because it has a potential. But once the potential of this shechazara having any value, now it's a regular day. Like a regular nivah now.
But you can't start counting shiva yom and shiva nikiyim in the middle of the day.
But she could really count it before.
But
no, now
she
could.
This is a late. It's not a late. The shechazara means
right.
That they can't count. So Wednesday morning could not have counted. Since Wednesday morning can't count, Wednesday afternoon can't count. You can't count the half a day for shiva nikiyim. So the bottom line is the earliest time she can start the Kashmir Kiyam is Thursday. So think of it, that's 4 days. So it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So she had to wait from the beginning of the period until the four halakhic days that are over. And then and only then, Wednesday night, she could begin to count Shiva Kiyam.
When we say low plug, that we're assuming only in a case where a woman is with her husband.
Right. Okay.
And Isha has namanos. He'll just need that anyway for all these
other things. We'll get there. See. So, you must have a little bit of Sephardi blood in you somewhere. Because the Shulchan Aruch says exactly what you said. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're right, that many of this applies when the couple were together. She hasn't been around for the last week, so everything should be okay. But you probably have a little bit of Ashkenazi blood, you also play a little bit more. And the Ramah says that, no, the Ramah says low plug. You're going to start to tell people that, no, if you're with your husband, then it's okay. And if you weren't with your husband, that's not okay. You're asking for trouble. That's not a good way of setting up filters either. So we're going to talk about the Hopalit Shem the next year. But the bottom line is, it's this whole concern about this that got us to have to wait 4 days before you start to count Shiva Nikiyim. Some of you may wonder, wait a second. We remember, we took our chassan classes. It was always 5 and 7, 5 and 7, 5 and 7, 4 and 7. Where'd that come from? Where'd that extra day come from? So we got a long way to figure out. That extra day is also because of the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even have that fifth day. The Ramah is another concern that threw in the fifth day for good luck. But all of this emanates from the original sugya of Paletah Shechazera. This is all assuming that Paletah Shechazera is a concern for Hilchos Nidah Bizman Hazeh. According to the Raivit, Shir Zoma, according to the Raivit, there's nothing to discuss because there's no Paletah Shechazera Bizman Hazeh. The issue is irrelevant when you're dealing with Isla Baila. But La Halacha, nobody follows the Raivit. All the other Mishnah disagree. Taisa and Rosh, Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah, no question that we've accepted La Halacha, the majority view, that relationship is a concern, a realistic minatora concern for an Isha as well, for Isla Labayla, and we have to figure out how to get around it. So the way to get around it is to wait a few days until we actually begin the Kaddish Shiva Nikiyim. 99.99% of the time, it's not relevant because she's waiting anyway because she's still bleeding. Most women get their periods for much more than 3-4 days. So it's usually at least 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. So she's probably not getting anywhere near starting Shiva Nikiyim for a while anyway. But every once in a while, it is important to know. Sometimes women get a very, very short cycle of staying or something that this halacha can become actually put into practice. So that's for the next year. So we'll take up from this point. That's the next question, when is the next year? That's the current question. So we'll see you around.